The Burgess Institute for Entrepreneurship and Innovation empowers students to learn through action by providing campus-wide programs, courses, and resources to test ideas, foster an entrepreneurial mindset, develop empathy, and create new ventures. Learn more at eship.msu.edu.
Chelsea, I'm so excited to welcome you to the Hatchcast. You haven't been here before, and I just wanted to have you come on board just to say hello to our audience.
My name's Chelsea Stein. I am on the Broad College MarCom team, and I'm a communications manager, so I do everything content, whether it's a news story or social media post.
I just wanted to take a moment today because we have kind of something kind of special that we cooked up.
Oh yeah, we do. And I know you're just as excited about it as I am. Of course, what we're talking about is our gift guide. It's all about Spartan-owned businesses. So we've got a variety of alumni and student entrepreneurs, and it's just really exciting to showcase, you know, their great work. They're doing amazing stuff, and they're all based in Michigan.
And who might we have on this list? I mean, can you give us a couple of names that we might recognize?
A big one might be Grand Traverse Pie Company. Who doesn't know them, or who hasn't tasted their pie? We've got some other cool ones too. Infinite is a favorite. They do the reversible, sustainable clothing. They're students here at Broad. We've got a restaurant based in Detroit called Flowers of Vietnam. So it touches a lot of different areas: food, clothing, you know, and just a lot of good balance there across Michigan.
What excites me about this collaborative project is the fact that we are giving a little bit of exposure to some of the really hard work that's being done by Spartan alums and Spartan entrepreneurs right here at Michigan State. And, you know, during this weird and wonderful time, I suppose, as we prepared for the holidays and for all the holidays coming and all the gift giving season, these are ways for our community to give back and to find the perfect gift. And so I can't wait. Where can they find it?
Yeah, the gift guide can be found if you go to broad.msu.edu/gift-guide. So that'll take you right to the gift guide, but we are sharing it across Broad College social media. I know Burgess, you're sharing it like crazy too. MSU has even shared it on their Facebook page. So I think if you just kind of tap into MSU's social media, of course that URL, you're gonna find the gift guide and can explore all the great things there. I do wanna mention that our gift guide really only scratches the surface. There are so many amazing entrepreneurs out there that are Spartan-owned businesses in and beyond Michigan. So if we missed you this year, don't hesitate to reach out. We want to capture you and celebrate you as well.
Absolutely. And you can reach out to us via all of our social media channels. Please comment. We are tracking all the comments on these social media shares, and we want you to know that we celebrate you too.
Thanks so much, Aaron.
Thank you, Chelsea.
Welcome back to the Hatchcast. Today we have on Mustafa Syed, the great and powerful CEO and founder of Reza. Reza is a shoe and sports apparel brand. Past summer, he was in the Techstars, cohort?
Yeah, Sports Accelerator.
In Indianapolis. Thank you for joining us today. It's really exciting to have you on.
Thank you for having me, dude. Excited to talk to you guys.
So you're about, a couple weeks removed of the program. What's been the after effects of that? Have you taken it in? Like, you were just involved in the Techstars, you know, like, that's kind of a crazy achievement.
Yeah, it was definitely a crash landing. I mean, we had so much fun this summer and progress in Indianapolis, where the program's based. And we just moved back into our parents' houses in Michigan. So it's been a fun transition, but we're glad to be back in Michigan. We're glad to keep moving. And everything's just been a learning experience. So we're really grateful for everything.
With everything going on in the world today and COVID, how did it affect the program? Was it still somewhat the same? I mean, obviously you were still in Indianapolis. You know, how did Techstars adapt and adjust for you guys?
I think it was challenging to say the least. So the Techstars programs, they have around 50 around the world now. They get a couple hundred applications and they take around 10 that they think they could help the most and that they could have the most impact with. So we found out that we were accepting the program around the same time that COVID was wreaking havoc over America. So it was really a weird time for the directors of the program, but it worked out pretty well. We got most people there. We got an office in Indianapolis. And the biggest thing that TechStars tries to teach its, you know, the people taking part in it is just the community aspect of it, that, you know, we're all really working together as entrepreneurs, because the entrepreneurship journey can be very lonely. And when you just have people around you who understand that, then that's what is most impactful. So, you know, with COVID, you know, without COVID, what we've learned is to really just put our faith in other people, whether it's a program or our fellow classmates. And that's what we found really impactful and what we aim to do in the coming weeks and months.
And how does the program go? Can you kind of walk us through, you know, is it step-by-step, achievement-based? Okay, they're here, now we're going here next. What does that timeline look like?
First off, they're looking for companies that are pretty early stage, but also, you know, can show some sort of traction, whether it's orders or some sort of metric. Three of our 10 companies, we're already doing $1 million in sales, which is always a good thing. The program essentially starts as they give you $120,000. They take 6% of equity in the companies, and then they bring you out to a certain location. For us, it was Indianapolis. And the first month is Mentor Madness, which is essentially from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. You're meeting with 10 mentors every day for a month. And literally, it's like the hardest part of the program. You just get completely wrecked. By 5 p.m., you just want to take like a 5-hour nap. The main thing they try to do is just make sure that you meet people in your industry who can be connections. And the entire program, that's what we found to be the most impactful, Mentor Madness. After that, it goes towards building off those connections, whether it's you have a new business model you're trying to integrate or new products you're trying to get to market. The next 2 months is kind of the managing director and the people in the program pushing you towards that goal. So for us, what we really wanted to do is find out who we are as a brand. So Reza, we make light-up technology for shoes. And when we came into the program, we weren't sure, are we a fashion company? Are we an athletic company? And what TechStar showed us through the mentors is that more than being a shoe for night safety, we're a shoe that we want to inspire people. We want people to wear our shoes and feel a sense of they're lighting their own path, that they're making their own future. And that's something that we got the chance to bounce that idea off, you know, 40, 50 mentors. That's the main thing that we took away. We didn't really know our soul as a company, what we were and how we were going to do it. And now we have a pretty defined business model. We know what our moral, you know, standings are of the company and where we want to impact people's lives. And more than anything, that's what we find more valuable over sales or certain metrics is really finding out who you are as a company. And that's the biggest thing, you know, you could do.
From starting your company, what I want to go back to is you saying, well, figuring out the soul of our company. To you, what is the soul of your company?
I think it goes back to kind of our story of how I started Reza, and particularly at Michigan State, played such a vital role. And I mean, the room you guys are in is where a lot of Reza was born. And that's something that I'm always like proud in bringing up. Our motto is light your own path. And for me, I ended up leaving Michigan State to build a light up shoe. For us as a company now, it's so much more than just a product or a consumer good. It's about showing people that taking risks, doing things that are different, ultimately pays off in the end if they're staying true to themselves. So when people wear their shoes, we want them to not only light their path, but to celebrate their differences and celebrate that it's okay to leave school. It's okay to go against your parents' will in certain scenarios. It's okay to be true to who you are. And that's something that when people wear our shoes, we don't want them to just wear the shoes and go out and just get attention from it. We want them to think that they can do anything and they can light their path if they truly believe in themselves. That really excites me, getting up every day and really building that into a shoe, whether it's content curation or marketing efforts to really funnel that to our target audience. That's what we're figuring out right now and what we're really excited for launch.
When did Reza first start? Because when I had met you, it was about 2 years ago. And there, you know, it was still, under my understanding, at the very beginning stages. Was that the very beginning? Was that, you know, 2 years ago, about the beginning?
That's the funny part. Like, that trip was kind of, that we took to Denver as Entrepreneurship Association. That was like probably the most pivotal trip ever for Reza and really starting it off. So once we went there, it was like, what, 19, 20 months ago from now, basically had the idea. Had a little bit of a prototype, but didn't really have the connections towards getting this to market and building a successful shoe brand. So when we went there, I'm sure you remember, we went to an MSU alumni's house who happened to know a former exec at Crocs. And then I emailed him. He forwarded me to the Crocs exec. Long story short, he became our key advisor. When we went to TechStars, we went to TechStars HQ. The guy in the room, Saba, ended up emailing him, and he joined advisory board as well. He helped us get connected to TechStars. So just from that trip, we got a key advisor from Crocs who helped us get our factory, who made our shoes. And then we got to connect to TechStars, which helped us nourish the business model over the next 12 months and ultimately get into the program. So it's really crazy how everything around Reza really started from being in the Entrepreneurship Association, being in the Hatch, ultimately going to Colorado, meeting, you know, random alumni who connected us. So that's a trip that I think about often. And just like, I just want to, you know, inspire anyone to who's thinking about doing something like that to do it, to, you know, to join EA, to take trips abroad, to take it to other states, because you never know what it might lead to.
Where you're at with Reza now, it seems quicker than some other companies. And like you said, it's probably because of the connections you made here at Michigan State and with the EA. I mean, that's pretty crazy. That's kind of rare, right? And it's kind of cool to see those little success stories.
I mean, more than anything, it's the community around you, right? Like, I wouldn't be able to go to TechStars or launch a shoe company if it wasn't for the, you know, the support of you guys, the, you know, the support of the Hatch and the entire like MSU ecosystem. I think what really excites me is that we get to like help each other in ideas, and that collaboration is something that really goes a long way. I think the road has also like, it comes with challenges. Like what's really good about TechStars is you're completely grounded in reality. It's not something that you're going to be given false ideas about getting to launch. Companies that go through TechStars, they have rough patches. They have competitors who come out and have very similar products. So I think what's really valuable is just being grounded that this is not easy. You know, entrepreneurship is going to come with a whole bunch of challenges. You're going to really figure out if it's for you, like if you want to do it. A lot of people, it's too volatile. And I think that's a completely good reason not to do it. But if you do realize that it's for you, you realize that it is tough. But ultimately, when you do succeed in the areas you sought out to succeed in, it's the best feeling ever. We feel humbled. We feel grateful and really inspired for kind of the next iteration of our launch, and also the, you know, coming after that, the partnerships that we can come up with.
You had to make a really tough choice, which is to press pause in the middle of your education. That had to have been challenging. That had to feel weird because it's sort of going against the grain. How did you make that decision? And will you pick up your education again?
Education is a really valuable thing. And if you get the chance to finish a college degree, I don't see a reason why not to. I think for us, it was really that the company, we have this product that is defendable. We have, you know, intellectual property around it. But when it comes to a point in the market where you think you can launch and have a successful launch, sometimes there's more risk in not doing it than doing it, right? So it's just good to go for something. So we saw we have a really hot design. We have a really hot shoe. We need to get to market and really launch this and make an impression on the market. And that's definitely the main driver behind leaving school. And I think my parents supported that. My friends supported that. But ultimately, I do think that education is such a valuable time. And I mean, 2 years at Michigan State brought me so far. I couldn't imagine, you know, the next 2 years of finishing my degree, what that would look like. So I've taken some online credits as well. But I think unless you have a really good reason to leave, such as, you know, your business is taking off or you have a certain gap in the market that you need to penetrate, I think that's a really good reason. But you could also build your business much more efficiently while taking classes. And you can also, you know, I encourage my friends to take smaller loads of credits if their business is really taking off. But ultimately, that ecosystem around you is great. And I miss it a lot as well. I mean, it feels so different to be in the real world and to interact with other entrepreneurs. It's a totally different experience from being in the classroom. And I like both of them. I want to, you know, finish school at, you know, when I get the chance. But ultimately, I mean, nothing but great things to say about college and my time at MSU.
Let's talk more about the shoe itself. How does it function? How does it charge? How do the lights work? You want to touch on that a little bit?
The main thing about Reza that gets us excited about our technology is that our shoes have fiber fabric lights. So it's like a laser shooting through a glass tube. And then when you see that in public, we found that it just looks really cool. It looks very different from other LED shoes or kid shoes. They run 18 hours on a single charge. They're built for athleisure. Whether you want to be seen, you know, running, it has that feature as well. But also if you just want to be seen for fashion purposes, it has that model as well, that you're able to go downtown in any city and be seen. And we think that's something that's really valuable. And the model itself is we're building an exclusive brand. So we're only launching 5,000 pairs in 2021. And we're aiming towards people who are entrepreneurs, people who are athletes, people who are artists. people who light their own path is our main target market. And then from there, we really want to build a strong brand around the certain futurism and the certain aura that we haven't really seen in other brands before. And then from there, we think there's a really good chance to expand into other kind of apparel, build a fashion brand out of it. But ultimately, we want to have a very penetrated launch of a simple idea, bringing adult shoes to the limelight and really see where it goes from there. I think our shoes have inherent virality to it. So when you see it, people, it uplifts people. It makes people excited, you know? And that's really what we see as what we want to bring to people and hopefully bring a lot of smiles to people over the course of the next years.
I want to buy a pair. I'm just saying.
You guys will be the first. There's some green Spartan ones coming soon. So you guys will be the first.
Can the lights be whatever color? Like, can you rotate it and be like, okay, today I want green, today I want blue? Or is it whatever pair you buy? You know, I bought the blue pair.
Our first iteration of year one is going to be one solid color. But then in year two, through our Reza app, you'll be able to change colors. So we'll do, you know, partnerships with certain companies where, you know, maybe for breast cancer awareness, you can pay $4.99 to purchase the pink color. And then we also have GPS technology that we're going to implement for our next iteration. So let's say you go to a Pistons game and, you know, the Pistons score, the shoes, they vibrate with a haptic motor, the lights go crazy. So that's also something that we spend a lot of time figuring out in Techstars. How can we implement this as an experience overall, more than just a shoe? So it's going to be a, you know, simple, straightforward at first, but in year two, three, there's so many different technologies that we're implementing. Most excited about kinetic charging as well. So right now you charge it on the charging box and it lasts 18 hours on a charge. And then for year two and three, we're developing kinetic charging. So just from the movement of your walk, it's going to regenerate the battery. So hopefully we'll be the first to do that. And we're going to try to implement an iPhone charger as well. So you can just plug in your iPhone to the shoes. We'll see how that pans out at the R&D. We're heading to Taiwan in a couple of weeks to figure it out, but that's kind of way of plans.
How do you compete with, you know, say a Nike, Adidas? You know, if your idea gets out and they see it and they really like it, you know, do they have the ability to just pivot and kind of take it from you? Like, how does that work?
I think when it comes to working with the big brands, they are competitors in many ways. And they also can work with you advantageously in a lot of ways. So one of the top footwear brands we do work with on a regular basis, we explore partnerships with a couple other big brands. Yes, they have the ability to be dangerous to your business model, to your product. But if you can move quickly with your idea, if you can really do something that they can't, that's going to be really beneficial. So for us, I think it comes down to our factory pipeline is pretty efficient because we're in a factory that also makes Nike shoes and Adidas shoes. So we're able to be on the ground floor and know what's happening at a realistic time frame and act from there. And then also it comes down to, because you're a startup and you have a new brand, we can take risks that Nike can't. So if we come out with a shoe that is this light up shoe with a certain aura around it, if another brand was to come out like Nike and do the same thing, that could be dangerous for a brand that does what, $50 billion market value. So their risk is going to be calculated as well. But ultimately, I think you do have to be fast. You do have to move quickly in a lot of areas, but I don't think big brands are as dangerous as a lot of people think in terms of coming out with a, you know, duplicate products. If you're able to move quickly and be unique and really stay true to you are different in this area, then you can do things that the big brands can't.
What we've heard time and time again too is that it's about the team. The team that you build around you is also going to provide the value. And if you don't have the key makeup of your team correct, that can be what pushes you down. Can you talk about that?
That's something that we've really found to be true the past couple months. And what I found challenging is being a sole founder comes with a lot of pros and cons. Statistically, any VC will tell you they're less prone to invest in a sole founder just because the math adds up that co-founders have a better chance at succeeding because they're there for each other. And when you're on your own in that journey, it can be harder. But also it gives you the sense of you're able to be creative on your, you know, own terms, and you're able to make strong business decisions kind of in the way you want to, which is also gives you good freedom. What we found really helpful that I think was maybe the biggest advice I have to any friends starting a company who want to do something in a particular field are advisors. So we have incredibly good advisors, you know, people like Paul, who's been with us from day one, our Crocs guy, Dale Batham. And then Matthew Grony, he's a current head of special products at Puma, also a Michigan State alum. Just having the room of three or four of these really accomplished people just changes everything as a company and as a founder. When I come into having an issue or a problem, which I don't know anything about, I can just give one of them a call, get all their opinions on something, and then be able to make a decisive decision. So that's something that I found really powerful. And then through Techstars, we were given 3 interns this summer who worked with us for about 13 weeks from IU, Notre Dame, and Berkeley. And we met with all of them in person, given it was COVID. We flew out one of our interns from California. And just having that camaraderie and that vision of 6-7 people around a idea, around a vision, around a goal, I found to be really uplifting for me. As someone who's been alone on this journey for 2 years, I think a team is something that we are in the process of assembling right now. And I'm really taking time to curate what that looks like. But ultimately, the team are the people who make and break the company. And having people who align with that vision is something that is not easy. And you really have to dig deep into finding out who the right people are. But that's something that we're excited about. And also, it's you have to be honest, I think. When you think someone's going to be a great team member, but it turns out there's some sort of conflict, whether it's deliberate or not, there's going to be people who just don't click in a business setting, which is something that I found, whether it's working with friends and working with other people, other interns, you just have to be honest and is there a good click?
What would be the biggest piece of advice you would give to a student right now who's listening to this and they're like, I have an idea, I don't really believe in it, but it might work. What would you tell them to do right now?
The main thing I would say, Aaron, is to really believe in yourself and to believe in your idea. When I came to Michigan State, I literally had an idea of putting on lights on Nike shoes. And that just led to an obsession over so many weeks and months. And had I not really believed in myself earlier then I don't think we would have made it this far. So I would say start small. You know, if you have an idea, pick it up every day, do something small with it. Ultimately, week after week, that leads to something. And it honestly, it surprises me in a lot of ways that just staying consistent with something, it just leads to further development. And people see that as well. If you start a simple idea 6 months ago, even if you just put a tiny bit of work in every day, it's going to lead you somewhere. So I would say, you know, really have conviction that you can do things. I've been in rooms with some really cool people at Techstars, investors. They're not more intelligent than people like you and I. And there's nothing that is stopping us from being successful, launching big brands, and from really making a dent in business, in fashion, in whatever field you want to. I think if you really have the conviction, you find that light in you and you go for that, then there's nothing that can really stop you. It's going to be a challenging journey. There's going to be things on the road that don't go, you know, your way. There's always going to be that scenario without everything. But if you stick with it, then you're going to go far eventually. And that's what really, I'm on that journey right now. It's exciting to me. And I encourage all my friends, anyone who wants to get involved in business, in entrepreneurship, to do it. And anything I can do in my capacity to help, I want to do that as well.
I feel like we have to talk about Floyd Mayweather. You got to FaceTime him. Yes. You got to see your brand. He's one of the greatest boxers of all time. What was that experience like? Were you starstruck at all or?
A little bit, yeah. No, Floyd's an awesome guy. So basically, one of our mentors through Techstars, a couple of them actually, they work with influencers. So Floyd was one of the guys that we got connected with. He's someone who's a big name. We came into the summer saying we want to get a big name involved, and he loved the shoes. He loved the designs. He said that he would wear it every time he goes to the gym, which is something that is pretty cool to hear, but we're just really excited about where that could lead to. For launch, we want to get the shoes to him. We want to get it to a couple other celebrities we've been talking to. So we feel strong that having someone like him involved is going to really bring a lot of traffic to the company. And for Floyd in particular, what we're working on right now is he's kind of going to be a partner for us and can help gift the shoes to maybe his friends like Drake and, you know, J Balvin and other kind of singers and artists. So hopefully we can figure out something that works well. And there's been a couple people that it's exciting to connect with, some athletes and some people who, you know, hopefully become potential investors. It's been exciting for sure.
Mustafa, it's always great to talk to you. Hopefully we can see each other in person soon. But thanks for coming on today.
Keep up, stay strong, stay healthy.
It's been a privilege and an honor. So thank you so much for the questions.
Hi, Aubrey Haas, Events and Project Coordinator, back with this week's event segment. If you missed out on our last Innovate State conversation with Chicago's power couple, Michelle Green and John Root, please please enjoy exclusive video content from their fireside chat on our Vimeo channel or in our last Hatchcast episode. And don't forget to tune in to our next and last Innovate State Conversation of 2020 with Manish Rathi, CEO and founder of JoyRun, on December 1st at 6 p.m. For this Thanksgiving episode at the Burgess Institute, we want to wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. If you're traveling this holiday, please stay safe and enjoy the company of your loved ones. I'll see you next time.
The Hatchcast is sponsored in part by Spartan Innovations. Spartan Innovations provides startups spinning out of MSU's ecosystem the commercialization support and financial resources necessary to turn MSU research technologies into successful Michigan businesses.
This episode of the Hatchcast is brought to you by the MSU Entrepreneurship Association. The MSUEA is a registered student organization open to all majors who are passionate about entrepreneurship. Find out more at msuea.org.
Hatchcast is an ongoing
Hatchcast is an ongoing collaboration.
This podcast was co-created
by Aaron Richard, Tyler Mihai, and Kurt Krieger.
It is produced by the Burgess Institute for Entrepreneurship and Innovation
in cooperation with the MSU Foundation.
Gabe Hales
and Justice Keach are our sound engineers and editors.
Our co-producers include Brandon Weaver,
Gabe Hales,
Justice Keach, and Aaron Richard.
Original sound is created by Katya Gardina
with help from Aubrey Haas,
Brandon Weaver,
Caitlin Setter,
Sydney Owinga,
Kurt Krieger, Tyler Mihai,
Gabriella Alum,
Jeff Smith,
Paul Jakes, Ken Smusiak,
Desiree Melfi-Bozzo,
Neil Kane,
and Lori Fisher.
If you have any questions or comments, please
feel free to reach out at
hatchcast@msu.edu.
hatchcast@msu.edu.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.